Hey there, this is Mobile Agent TV, helping agents stay on the cutting edge from coast to coast.
Welcome to Mobile Agent TV. I am Michael Thorne of RE/MAX Little Oak Realty in Langley, BC, and my co-host, as always, is Dave Bachware from Bridgewater, New Jersey's RE/MAX Preferred Professionals in the Enviro Realty team. Dave?
What are you going to ask me today?
Favorite band of all time?
Grateful Dead.
Wow. There you go. Were you a Deadhead? Did you ever follow them around? Did you ever go see them in concert?
No comment. And the Beatles. And the Beatles are number two. They're right in here, but they're Grateful Dead. I like their kind of stuff. And no, I'm not going to comment on that.
Okay. So, fair enough. That's fair. During the broadcast, you can interact with us live using the hashtag MATVLive, as well as you can get us on Twitter using the at Mobile Agent TV. Just want to really say thank you very much to today's guest, and we'll introduce her a little bit before we normally do, Terry Conrad, whose voice you heard at the beginning of the show. We hyped last week's show. We were supposed to have Steve Murray on, who's the editor of Real Trends and the author of Game Changers. There was a mix-up in his schedule. We've moved him to next week, September the 19th, and Terry was awesome enough to come on and jump on this week's show. So thank you very much, Terry, and thanks for Steve for accommodating us. I will introduce today's guest. It's Terry Conrad. And as always, we read out the 160 Twitter bio. You can get her on Twitter at Terry Conrad. She's the founder and coach at AgentQuest. She is a connector, collecting amazing relationships, and chasing conversations that matter at Convos Tea Matter in life and in business. Welcome back to the show, Terry.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate being here.
Now, you're like our returning champion. You were our very first guest on our show. We've seen you over the last year and a half of Mobile Agent TV, and we usually ask people their history in the real estate space. So in 27 and a half seconds, if you can refresh our audience on your history in real estate.
So I was a licensed realtor for many years here in Langley, same market as Michael, and I have now been consulting and coaching the last 2-3 years off and on until I just launched Agent Quest officially, which is a new program this year.
Fantastic. So we want to get into that. We want to get into to your passions. This might be a little bit of a different format than we normally do. We're going to try to go round table and all chip in and just see where the conversation goes. But I really want to encourage everyone watching to go to agentquest.ca, which is the Canadian.com.ca, and download Terry's white paper. What is it called? E-zine, right?
We call it an e-zine, yes.
Okay. And so what Terry did was reach out to a lot of her friends, and she's got some amazing, great friends in this business. And she just said, you know, give me your advice. What would you say to a new agent getting into this business? And you have a list of people just giving these unbelievable golden nuggets. I went back and read it again last night. There's takeaways for anyone, no matter what level they are. But, I mean, you've got Dave Crumby on there. You've got Chris and Peggy Lynn Spiker, Raj Kazar, Sonny Lake, Sean Carpenter, Tony Joe. It goes on and on. Bill Risser's on there. Steve Babbitt's on there. Laura Monroe. Valerie Garcia. Corey Vasquez. Sam DeBord. It just goes on and on and on. These amazing people giving this incredible advice, and really encourage everyone to go in, and it's free. Just put in your email address, and it will come fired off to you. Terry, when you put that together, was there anything that sort of stood out as a common theme, or one or two little nuggets from different people where you're like, yes, that's the one? What did you take away when you put together that e-zine?
Actually, yeah, absolutely. If you really had to boil it down to one common theme, it would be, you know, get help. Nobody can do this by themselves, and you can sit there and struggle and worry and fret, but honestly, align yourself with people who know what they're doing, who are successful, and can help you sort of jump over that hurdle when you're first starting. That's why we built Agent Quest, frankly. It's just so difficult for people as they get started, which isn't to say you can't do it. Lots of people have done it, and many have done it very well, but it's a little more painful, and it takes a little bit longer. And most people just said, you know, get on a good team if you can. Like, honestly, that's the best advice that pretty much everybody almost consistently gave. Get on a really good, high-producing team. Learn from the people who are already successful in the business.
Dave, hark back to your start in this business and talk about the amount of training and education you received in your first 3 years. I mean, what was that like?
Well, there was no real training. It was, here's your desk, here's the phone, get to work. Mm-hmm. And that was basically it. The only training, you know, I got my training from tapes on the fronts in my car from Tom Hopkins. That's who trained me in real estate to start with. And it was a whole different ballgame. The real estate was much simpler then also. The basics were the basics. They were the same for the 50 years or the 100 years before that. And now it's really totally different. You need something like Agent Quest, and now it's a minefield out there for agents. But way back when, there was no training. There really wasn't, and it was a lot tougher. I mean, it took me good. I worked really, really, really hard and had to make a ton of mistakes, and nobody would. You know, I had to figure it out for myself. And it took me a good 4 or 5 years to even get the ball rolling. Mm-hmm. And it was tough. It was a tough mm-hmm. time.
And Dave, you say now, I mean, and the business is so much more complicated, so much quicker. You don't have 4 or 5 years to sort of figure it out and get your feet wet. I mean, I know when I started, I was really young, but I had 3 years of an experience as an assistant on a fantastic team. They happened to be my parents, but they were a dominant real estate force in the area and did things at that time the right way. And I couldn't imagine coming out of the real estate course, which a lot of, I'm sure the same way in British Columbia, the real estate course is one of the hardest courses in North America to pass. You go to a university to take it, and it's changed a little bit, but it basically teaches you how not to get sued, not how to sell real estate, how to engage with buyers, how to find out what your value proposition is. I mean, you really become an agent, even though you've done all this education, that doesn't prepare you for day in and day out at all. I'm still amazed at how much it is still a little bit, here's the phone book and here's your desk and good luck.
Mm-hmm. Well, here in New Jersey, the test to get your license is essentially the same as it was 35 years ago. And here, it's not hard. It's real easy to get a real estate license. And when the market's good, everybody has a real estate license. So it's a little bit different a challenge, but you're absolutely right. What they do teach you is how not to get sued. They have nothing to do with sales at all.
So one of the things, I mean, one of the reasons why we wanted to have Steve Murray on just prior to this show, and I'll let you in on next week's episode a little bit, but the book Game Changers really basically says in almost all the chapters where they talk about, you know, if this change happens in a real estate industry, what's the effect on the industry to a broker, to an agent? And almost all the changes that could transpire between now and 2025 benefits producing agents and penalizes the struggling agent. I mean, it just does. If Zillow and Trulia can continue to be dominant, the agents that have the money to advertise there will continue to benefit. If there's a changes in some of the regulations, it will benefit the producing agent. And I think it's more critical now than ever before to get up and to get moving quick and to get a business built where you don't have time to toil. Talk about your passion, Terry, for not necessarily just the new agent, but the struggling agent and how crucial it is to put that foundation opposed to just spinning around, because like Dave says, you could spin for 4 or 5 years.
Oh, I mean, this is my passion, right? Like, you know, I bleed for newer agents in particular, but all the struggling agents who I think it starts with, honestly, just how we've presented the industry to the world and just said, you know, like you said, Dave, you know, when the market's great, everyone just jumps in. And so, you know, there's so many different elements about why I think it doesn't work and how we need to change that. But basically, I feel like the struggle is partly because we come into this business thinking, I believe, misbelieving that we will park our license at a brokerage, and it's like a turnkey system. Like, you know, as soon as you join that brokerage ABC, suddenly you're up and running. And I think people believe wrongly that they're just going to automatically start selling to their friends and neighbors, and away they'll go. And they don't really understand that this is a business that you're running on your own, essentially, and you're going to need excellent systems, you're going to need to understand the tools, your brokerage may or may not be prepared to guide you through basic business setup and marketing setup, and all of those things that are foundational in terms of getting up and running quickly. Leads don't just fall in laps, you know, it just doesn't happen, so big deal.
Dave, I'm a prospective new, I'm a new agent. Let's say I'm working at your office. I take you out for a cup of coffee and I say, Dave, give me two or three nuggets that are going to help me really, really grasp what it's going to take and keys to building a business. Like, what advice would you give a new or struggling agent that really in their gut wants to have a business and not a transactional business?
Well, I'd ask them to join my team to start with. If they were good, if they were something. But, I mean, that's it. I really believe. Because running a team and being a real estate agent are two different things. It's totally different. It's like being a broker. That's a different business than selling real estate, in my mind. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my number one advice would really be to find a mentor and a team. And if you really want to sell real estate, that's what you want to do. Mm-hmm. But even if you're somebody, you have this this is vision. I want to own a team someday. Well, you got to start on a team first. You just can't go into the real estate business and start a team. I don't think you can because you don't have the experience to do it. So, you know, I think joining a team and finding a good team leader who's going to guide you and help you through that and kind of figure out what your niche is, what you're good at, and what you have a passion about is definitely the direction to go in. I mean, that's the number one thing.
Well, you can't get to 50 leads or 50 deals a year until you've done 25 deals a year. I mean, you are growing a business, and you're right. You just can't be team leader day one. You know, this is something where you have to sort of learn, and you wouldn't want to be team leader day one. The amount of you know, fish out of water you would be when the issues that it takes to run a team are. I mean, you're dealing with a lot more things. I mean, you wouldn't even know where to start. And I think the advice I would give someone is either have a mentor or to be on a team with someone, not necessarily that's a high producer, but someone that's producing good numbers the right way. I think, you know, we can talk about ethics all day long, and Dave, you're passionate about it, but learning the business the right way is key. It's not always about numbers because long term, the numbers won't be sustainable if you're not doing it the right way.
Right, and that could take you time to figure out who that team leader is that you're going to join. You may join one team and have to go to another because maybe the values of that team are just don't match up with you. But you have to find a comfortable place to work, and a comfortable team leader, and a comfortable team environment to be in. Or else you're just not gonna. It's just gonna be like Terry shows a lot of passion and enthusiasm for what she does. She's obviously very, very happy in the role she has, and selling real estate can be a painful thing. you have to find a place where you're on a day-to-day basis, you got a smile on your face and you're having a good time going out and doing your job.
Absolutely.
And if it's not the right team environment, you know, that could add to your angst. So just, you know, it could take you time to do it, but it's critical. It's a slow process too, isn't it? It's like, you know, somebody just said it before. They come into the business, they think they're going to hit the ground running and be doing 25, 50 deals the first year. Well, they might, but it's you got to take your time. You're building a business, and you don't build a business from the roof down. You build it from the foundation up. So, you know, you got to get a foundation under you, and you got to understand it's going to take time and it's going to take a lot of work. It's hard work.
It is hard work. Agreed.
Terry, you were going to say something there.
I just agree with everything that Dave has been saying, and I always typically do. I'm not much of a contrarian with you, Dave. I guess what I feel is that there just isn't this overall understanding of the business piece. You know, you come in thinking I'm selling real estate, and so you're focused on sales, I think. And I don't think that you've got that vision in place where it's like, okay, I need to learn how to run a business efficiently. I need to understand systems. I need to understand the tools. I am marketing. I am sales. I am customer service. I am accountant. I am, you know, everything under the sun, me, myself, and I, and am I prepared to take all of that on? And I don't think that we do a great job of, you know, sending that message, frankly, in the front.
Terry,
I know of agents who've done 50, 60, 70 deals in a year, and they're broke.
Right.
Because they're making a lot of money, but they don't know what the hell they're doing with it.
Right.
They're spending it on the wrong advertising. They don't have budgets. They don't have a business plan. They don't look at their finances. They're not measuring what they do. They don't have goals. They're just selling a whole hell of a lot of real estate, and they're not getting anywhere.
Right. Crazy.
And probably working as hard year five as year one, which you should be working hard, but the return, the ROI, or the work smart should increase as your years go on.
Mm-hmm. So, Michael, you said it too when you said, you called it transactional, and I completely agree with that, kind of how you framed that. It's like there are so many people in this business that do focus on that one transaction, and the values and the ethics piece comes into play there as well, because a lot of people are so focused on getting that one deal done that they lose sight of the bigger picture and they don't have a vision for what's coming down the road. I mean, if you're not going to play fair with someone on that one deal, you know, there's a pretty good chance you're going to be faced with the same agent down the road. And I they call it cooperative agents for a reason, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we actually chatted about this yesterday, Terry, a little bit about cooperative agents, but so agents can get themselves in the way. You know what I mean? And the word agent means the go-between between two other parties, and it's and sometimes, you know, as another agent, I mean, it behooves you in negotiations to have the ear of the other agent to benefit your own client.
Absolutely.
But when you go in a combative nature and you're not cooperating, the reputation you can earn in this business, because there's reputation management when it comes to buyers and sellers amongst other agents. Like, I know some agents, when they price the home and they say in the comments that it's clean and it shows well, it's priced right and it's clean and it shows well, because I know the reputation of that agent.
Right.
So there I go out of my way to show their properties because I know what I'm going to get. They've earned that reputation. I think reputation amongst your fellow agents is crucial.
I do too. Completely agree. Absolutely. And I think, but we don't do a great job of teaching that. Like, where is that class?
Where are any of the classes, though?
Yeah.
Terry,
I don't think you can teach that. That's like you say, I'm going to teach ethics. You can't teach ethics.
But can you demonstrate or articulate, Dave, the consequences of not being ethical, the consequences of not being cooperative? Maybe you can't teach the ethics, but can you let people know, look, if you don't act in an ethical manner, or if you're not cooperating, this is what's going to happen to you long term. Can you at least phrase it that way?
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's karma in the world. People don't, maybe whether you believe in it or not, but you do the wrong thing, it eventually somewhere it balances out. You pay for that. And maybe you get a reputation. You're not doing things the right way, mm-hmm, or ethically. And some buyer agent who had a buyer for a listing may avoid you. Or, you know, you could cost your clients money and cost yourself money as well. I mean, you know, there's a lot of different things that go on in the background if you're just not doing things right.
I agree.
It catches up with you. It just absolutely does.
Well, and we always talk about things that you can measure. I mean, there's something that you can't measure. You don't know how many people you've alienated. You don't know how many people are talking bad about you when you're not there. You know, it's like your reputation is everything in this business.
Yep.
Well, okay, you know, and I want to get into this, and I wanted to start the conversation about conversations that matter and talk about that, but we're getting into it already and we're in it, so we'll push that aside, but we'll get back to that too. One of the pieces of advice that I've heard many, many times from good producing agents, we've heard it on this show before, is don't do $7 an hour work. You know, avoid doing $7 an hour work. And I really caution agents to be very cautious about that. And I'm going to show you, I'm going to tell you an example that happened to me this week. I get a phone call from a buyer, a couple with a kid, and they want to buy their first home. And we go out for a cup of coffee, and through the consultation, it comes about how they know me, or like how they chose me. And they said that 7 years ago, I had helped a friend of theirs sell their property here in North Langley. And the reason why they knew 7 years ago, when they were ready to buy a home, they were going to use me, was that we had a short 7 years ago, and so the property, we had a short notice showing. I called the owner, and she was panicking that the house wasn't ready, the floors were a mess. Well, I was around the neighborhood. I popped by the house. I took off my suit jacket. Yes, I do own a suit. And I mopped her kitchen floor for her to help her out. That is at best $7.
Well, look, okay. I know that. You didn't even have to tell that story. We knew that that's exactly
what you did. So that $7 an hour work that has now paid me what I think I'm worth at $200 an hour as a real estate agent. And I don't even know where it's going. The fact that I made a deposit in the Karma Bank 7 years prior and took care of that client resulted in 7 years later a transaction under what an agent would tell you is $7 an hour work. And so I'm curious about what advice, Dave, you have or Terry have with that mindset. I'm above that from really successful agents.
Here's what I'd say. I put it in a little different terminology. I mean, you've heard me say it. Serve your client. That's serving the client. We're not in this for the money. I know this is real hard for some people to put their heads around this. We're not in this for the money. You don't do this for money. You will get rewarded in money, and a lot of it, if you serve your client. And what you did was serve the client. You went there and you did what you needed to do to get the job done. And sometimes you got to do $7 an hour work. Just sometimes you do. I put up signs and I've gone and I've had an older person or even a younger person doesn't really know what they're doing, struggling with putting up a smoke detector or a car, and I said, I'll take care of it for you. And I get it done. I get it. You get it done. You serve your client.
I think that's why I love you guys so much. It's just that's just who you naturally are. You don't think about it. This isn't a strategy that you're, you know, putting into place. You're just being you, and you're always, you know, thinking about your customer, always. And at the end of the day, it really isn't about, like, I think we've gotten too focused on creating these, you know, very strategies with all these rules and regs and, you know, you can't do this and you have to do that. And it's like, you know, maybe let's just make it simpler. Just be a good person. Let's start there.
Yep. I agree. Perfect.
I totally agree. And is that what ethics are? I mean, that's what we're doing. We've taken on a job. I mean, I think for younger agents, or agents that they want to get in business, you don't understand how rewarding it can be to take care of someone who has worked for the last 5 years to save up a down payment to buy their first home, and they say, out of everyone I can choose, you're the one I'm going to trust to take care of my family, you know, my wife and my two kids. That, I mean, there is something so special about that if you let the commission check get in the way of that, it will tarnish really the value that you're having on people, like real value.
Well, and it's the focus. It's like, where are you putting your attention? So I always say that impact leads to income. You know, it'll come, like you said, Dave. It'll totally come if you're focused on the right things and doing the right things and serving your clients.
Well, that's what we teach our team. I have people on our team or outside the team ask me questions, real estate questions. And I go, well, what do you think the right thing to do is? Forget what the law, forget what this says, forget what the real estate. What do you think the right thing to do is? Just do the right thing. And can't figure that out, what the right thing is to do. I don't have an answer for you.
Okay, so on that, let's say we have a new agent that understands what the right things is to do, but they're overwhelmed. They're like, as we all were as new agents. Get on a team, get some mentorship, find some coaching. But in today's different world of it takes 12 to 18 months for someone to go through the buying process, they are developing a relationship with you before they ever meet you, and this is what agents have to understand. Mm-hmm. Please do not pretend that people aren't looking at you before you know that they are. I mean, some cases someone will walk into open house, but when that phone rang, can we have a cup of coffee with you? That's a decision that they had made 7 years earlier that I was completely unaware of. So it does come back into your personal brand. You are a business. If you don't have a logo or a catchy tag phrase, I get it, but you are a brand. Branding isn't necessarily a logo, but visuals are super, super important. They are super, super important. But you are a brand in what the perception is that someone thinks about you.
Well, and can I just intersect this for a second? So brand actually is what people think you are. And so the experience they have of you, it's not the tagline, it's not the logo, it's the entire experience. And every time they've touched you, whether you were aware of it or not, that is part of your brand experience. So, sorry, that was just my
take. No, but okay, then that's fine. And but talking about like zero moment of truth, you know, where we're happening actually before we get into the open house, before we actually get to the restaurant, we're having this reaction on online, whether it's doing the review on Yelp or getting advice on what a restaurant I should go to. That's zero moment of truth, where that used to actually happen at the restaurant. Now it's happening prior. What does an agent need to do to have a thumbprint to start to tell their story about who they are in the first couple of years? It's easy for us. We've got a backlog of history, of past clients, of friends and family, of blog posts, of videos. Where does an agent start to build that brand by letting people know what their story is?
So, I mean, part of, like, I mean, obviously we're all kind of creating, we're in a publishing world, right? Like, you are nothing if you aren't creating some sort of content to establish a digital footprint. And one of the things that I tell newer agents all the time is, you know, if you don't feel like you have the experience and you don't feel that you have the knowledge, then this is a perfect, you can be the investigative reporter and go and start asking questions and interviewing people who are doing the work and who know the process and understand your market and your product. Get out and do some tours with your office and see what's going on in your market. Get to see some of the product. Start to understand, you know, how transactions are being done. Maybe, you know, shadow somebody in your office if they'd allow you to come and sit in on a listing agreement. Or, I mean, there's a million different ways to sort of get to that point where you feel like you have something to say, and then for heaven's sake, start saying it. So start dripping that out. You know, asking questions online, creating blog posts, creating videos like you do so well, Michael. There's a million different ways to start doing that. And then, you know, reaching out on Facebook and talking to your friends and families and creating that, you know, touch point and reminding them that you're around and what you do for a living. Don't make it all about real estate. Please, God, don't do that. But, you know, but definitely make yourself known. Like, don't be, like, I'm sure Dave is familiar with this phrase, the secret agent, right?
Yep. Yep, absolutely. The one thing now in with the technology and Facebook, you know, Facebook to me is the game changer in a way for real estate agents to do exactly what you just said. Back when I started, I kind of figured out pretty quick, you know, maybe I got to let everybody know what I'm doing. And everybody, so I had to go into my memory and say, well, I think I know this guy. And I had read a book by some guy who sold a lot of cars in Detroit. He had a personal note. So I'm writing personal notes to people that I haven't seen in 10 years and all this other stuff. Today, you go on Facebook and start friending all your, find the people that you haven't talked to or that may be living in your community. And it's just a way to start those things to do what you just said, to don't do it all about real estate, but at least let them know what you do and slowly build this sphere. And with Facebook today, it's way easier than it was a long time ago.
Ain't that the truth? Although those handwritten cards are still very powerful.
They are. Well, we do it all the time too. It's absolutely.
There's no either or. It's and. Want to talk about Terry? Okay, let's go to conversations that matter.
Okay.
Real quick. You started a program 3 months ago, very similar to the, not similar to this, but format-wise, video and then an audio podcast afterwards that's called Conversations That Matter. And it's very different. On this show, we try to come on and talk about a topic, Lead Street or video or you know, Facebook advertising, whatever it is, where you're really trying to figure out the fabric of people that you're interested in that happen to be in the real estate industry. The expression is that we are the sum of the people that we spend, the five people we spend the most amount of time with. And the nice things about Conversations That Matter for me is that every Sunday morning I get to sit down and sort of get to be around these really amazing people and hope that some of the actual basics of who these people are sort of rub off on me. That's really what's exciting about it. Because it's sort of a higher level, talk a little bit about Conversations That Matter, why you started it, your passion, and the value potentially to anyone that wants to sort of peek in and watch.
Well, thanks for asking. So first of all, I will qualify that and say that actually my next two guests are neither from the real estate industry. But my concept is that, you know, we're all people first, and we all have a lot of the same issues first. The Conversations That Matter podcast was really just my passion to dig a little deeper. There's a lot of surface conversation about tech and tools, and a lot of, and by the way, I think that your program is amazing. I almost didn't do it because you do such a great job yourself that I don't want to, like, take up too much space. But this is just something that I really enjoy doing. I love getting really deep with people, going to more high-level, you know, introspective, very conceptual, a little less sort of structure and more conversational. I like the idea of it being actually a conversation and touching on the things that I think actually do matter in life. Maybe some things that we kind of skip over sometimes because they're uncomfortable. Sometimes I think we just need to dig a little deeper and find out more about, you know, why a person feels that way or what they actually think about something. These are the things that really intrigue me, and, you know, we're sharing this life. We go around once, and so I always finish the conversation with, you know, so what is your legacy going to be? Like, you know, what kind of statement do you want to leave on the planet? And it's always really interesting. It's the people that I've had on so far are just amazing, truly great people. Some of them you'll know, some of them you won't know, but each one of them has a really interesting perspective, an interesting experience, and they're really generous to share it with me on my show.
And it's fantastic. I know Dave's watched the episodes, and it's very different, and it's fantastic.
Actually, I there's two shows that are on the internet now, and one is ours, and so I participate in that. So I glean so much stuff from this; it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I actually rewatched them because it's a whole different context when I rewatched them. But I've watched. I have to schedule when I'm going to look at Agent Quest, but I did see the first two, and I'm going to tell everybody that there is so much content on her show. Between the first one was Michael, obviously, then Valerie Garcia. I mean, don't get any better than that. But then
and
you got Matt Farrar, and you got a lot of people. And it's just a lot of different takes on things. And education is so important. I think part of what's on your show is education. It's whether it be life's experiences or, you know, or just basic information or whatever, or just life's trials and tribulations.
Mm-hmm.
You can't ever stop getting yourself educated and absorbing all this positiveness. That's the one thing I got from, more than anything, from your show.
I love that.
Positive people. I mean, it's just, you come away going like, wow, I got a whole mess more today. Let's get going.
I love it.
It's great stuff. Great stuff.
Thank you. That means a lot to me, Dave. It really does. It means that and it's one of those things, and everybody says that, well, if nobody listens, then that's okay. And the truth is I get so much from it that I really enjoy doing it, and it makes me very pleased to know that you're enjoying it.
And so you can go to agentquest.ca, click on the Conversations That Matter tab, and you can get it there. You can also get it on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio.
Thanks to Michael.
It's fantastic.
My producer.
Want to delve into something before we actually get into the nuts and bolts of Agent Quest and your vision there. I want to talk about success, because we talked about it on your show. It was spurred on about something that happened on this show, and it was a conversation that Dave, myself, and Lee Brown were having. And by the way, Lee Brown put out a video yesterday on YouTube that please go to Lee Brown's YouTube channel and watch it. It is the best 3 minutes you'll see in a very, very long time.
There's that. You're a real estate agent. First thing you do, find Lee Brown, and I'll say it. Lee Brown says,
yeah.
That's all you need to know.
She's the best. She's crazy.
And so when Lee was on the show, we were talking about success and about legacy, and she was sort of said that it is my my obligation to continue to try to build the business with Trish and Jorda, and to continue to grow, because I kind of like owe it to my kids to have this legacy that I'm leaving them. And Dave participated too as well. And my assumption was that they meant a financial legacy for my kids. And one of the things I think that really hiccups people in this business is, this is the way you prospect, this is the way you do a buyer presentation, this is the way you show homes, and this is what success is.
Yes.
And I think there are so many different ways to prospect. There are so many different ways to show a home. There are so many different listing presentations. And there are so many different definitions of success. And I think agents that get started in this business or that are struggling, when they see what they're told success in this business is, I think that becomes like 30 barriers.
Yeah.
Talk about what it takes and what sort of practice or assessment does someone have to take to try to get through what their definition of success is.
I think that is such a difficult question to answer, and I don't know that I have an answer for that. I think, honestly, the process that I take people through is getting very clear. And we walk them through a lot of self-directed exercises where they really start to identify their own personal values. And I think part of the reason that we do this is because I think we are sort of bombarded with the idea of what success must be. And you feel like if that isn't what you really truly want, then there's something wrong with you. And there's multiple layers here that we sort of have to peel back when we talk about, you know, let's design a life that is meaningful to you. And is that even okay in this industry? Because there's a lot of stigma around it. And they, just like any other stereotype, you know, there's sort of an expectation. And I don't know that I have the right answers. And I don't even know that as we go through these processes, sometimes people will discover that maybe this isn't the right industry for them. You know, like that's part of the discovery process as well. But for the ones who really want to get honest and get real and really start to build, like Dave said, that foundational piece, I feel like it's integral to really identify the life that you want to live. Like what is it going to take financially? What is it going to take spiritually? What do you need for your health? What do you need for your relationships? All of those different elements play a piece in my determination of what success really means. So these are the things that we sort of focus on and we drill down, and that's sort of like stage one of the process.
Dave, how and I've never really even asked you, how do you define success?
Well, when we write down our goals every year and revisit them throughout the year, one of the big things that is attached to that is, what's my why? Why am I doing this? I mean, okay, I want to make X number of dollars, but why? Why do I, you know, what do I want to do with that money? My definition of success is, again, tough question. If I can wake up, what did I do? I leaned over here and I pushed a button in my thing and my alarm's going off in my car.
You're like me, Dave. Technology does not love me back.
We're good. We're good now. So it's basically, I mean, one of my philosophies is it's not about what you get in life. It's about what you give. Mm. And my big why is so that I can do things for other people, whether it be my daughter or a friend or something, or just help somebody else. And that's why I do what I do. And if I can wake up every day and know that I'm kind of going in that direction, that's my definition of success. I have to have the wherewithal to do it. I got to have money. I'm not going after the money, but it comes, like we said before. But that's sort of my definition. I'm happy when that happens.
Interesting. And I also think, like, you know, like, it's funny, we have this sort of emotional response to money. And it's like, it's not okay to want it. And I think we have to, like, change that. I think it's okay to want to have money. And just for exactly what you said, it's like money in and of itself is just a thing. It's not, you know, it's something we use as a transaction. It's not good or evil. It's how you use it. And I think we need to like get people to the place where it's like, it's okay to want to be successful and have a lot of money. You know, being rich or wealthy is not a horrible thing. It's, and there is, again, another stereotype about people and wealthy people.
What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the money?
What are you going to do with it? Absolutely.
What are you going to do with that money? You're going to give it to somebody so they can have a better life? That's a good thing. If you're going to go give it to the soup kitchen, that's a good thing.
Well, I love the concept of social debt.
Cars and drive around and act like an idiot. Well, I don't know.
Totally. There's this, but there's a concept that's right now going around that you know, that conscious capitalism and the social good and business and how business can lead to good things in the world. We just have to shift how we approach that. And so I think real estate is an excellent vehicle for that.
And I also think on that note, and it, not only is it good for the agent, but I think now our consumer is looking for that. I think more often now, more than ever, as a consumer, I want to patron a restaurant or a coffee shop that has like a social awareness. And I'm not saying that big box stores don't, but I think there is a shift in our culture. And so not only is it good for you and your soul, but you're also going to attract people that see that and want to support someone who's doing something beneficial in the community. So I think that's super, super important.
Yeah. Like, well, it's funny you say that because you know what? There's an app for that. No, I swear to God, there is. It's called Bipartisan, BUI Partisan. You can click on this app and put in the name of a company you're buying a product from, and they'll tell you politically and what their leanings are and who they give money to.
Ooh, interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So if you're really conscious about those kinds of things, there's an app for that. There's an app for everything.
I thought you were being sarcastic.
I swear to God, here it is. Look, I'm telling you, it's right here. Here it is.
Bipartisan.
I thought if somebody and you scan what there's a bar scan thing on it, and you go up to any product anywhere and scan it. They take you to the company that manufactured it, and they give you a little information about where they're giving money and who they're president of their company.
Love it.
All that other stuff. It's really cool.
Fantastic. Terry, Agent Quest.
Yes.
Let's start with defining it, if you can. And the genesis of Agent Quest, the why behind Agent Quest.
Right. So my why is it really was because I myself had struggled as a new agent and had to figure pretty much all of it out on my own, save the basics, which were, you know, how to write a contract. You know, I was told week one in training to get out there, knock doors and cold call, and I thought, Oh God, if that's how I'm going to have to do my business, I'm not going to last very long. And thank God for me, it was right at the beginning of the social revolution, and I had this marketing background, and so I sort of went all in on social, which worked very well for me, thank heavens. But it's just, you know, I watched a lot of people beside me come and go, frankly, because they were struggling as much as I was, and we were all just sort of floundering. And there was, I think, this idea of, you know, the old guys that had been doing it for years, they'd had to work really hard and struggle on their own, and they were kind of like, it's part of the initiation. You're going to just have to figure it out. And I thought, fair enough. So off I went, and you know, I tried to build a team. That failed. I tried to farm an area. That failed. I tried all kinds of things that didn't work. And what happened was, as I learned along the way, where my strengths are, where my weaknesses are, things that I needed to hone and improve, and I, of course, worked with a coach, and it shifted everything for me, right? And so, I guess my thinking was, you know, I kept waiting, honestly, frankly, for somebody else to do this, because there's a lot of great coaches out there, like a lot. You know, Travis Robertson is awesome. Buffini does a decent program. Tom Ferry is pretty good. Like, there's all these different programs, but they're targeted to agents, frankly, that are more established and have been in the business for a while. But there was nothing really that I could see. There was sort of a gaping hole for the newer agent, which is, you know, there's all this talk about raising the bar in our industry. And I thought, well, if we're serious about raising the bar in our industry, then shouldn't we be helping the people that need it the most? And wouldn't that truly benefit the industry as a whole if the people coming out of post-licensing or, you know, Goodyear in can get the help that they need? Now, you know, having said that, we were kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall. We're like, well, we're not sure if this is going to work or not because, you know, this is why there's a hole. It's like, do new agents even understand that they need to invest in their business yet? And can we actually make money doing this? And that's the question. And we're not sure. We're just starting and, you know, we're trying to get the word out there and you know, it's valuing the time and the expertise and the walking them through the process that's difficult to explain the value to someone who doesn't yet really even believe that they need the help, that they can do it kind of on their own. So this is kind of, that's the why, that's the challenge and the why, and we're just sort of in a an interesting place. We're in an interesting place to see if this is going to work or not.
It is going to work because there's so, first of all, you're amazing. The knowledge you know and you can put it together is incredible. But as a new agent in real estate in 2014, the value of not spinning your wheels for 4 years, like Dave said, first of all, to get those 4 years back is awesome.
Yep.
You cannot spin your wheels for 4 years anymore.
No.
The industry moves too quick. It is far too expensive.
Yep.
The business doesn't benefit the smaller producer. I think for a lot of people that really understand that real estate is right for them, and I knew real estate was right for me. I knew it was right for me from the get-go, and that's a fortunate thing. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people get in this business go, well, let's see how this goes.
Yes.
But if you know this is something for you, you know, you can have all the bus bench ads in the world, but if you don't have the skill, it's going to be tough. So something like this is incredible.
Right, exactly. And I believe that, and I believe in taking them from transactional to create a business and have that long-term vision, and let's work towards that and backtrack. Here's what we need to do to get you there. And we're reintroducing that sort of, I told you, this Super Friends program where we're going to bring in other experts, amazing agents around North America who are going to be part of the Super Friends program, and each one of our clients is going to have a chance to touch them as well, which I'm really excited about that. And honestly, again, it's like the easing, you know, like just understanding that I'm one person and my experience brings a lot to the table, but, you know, the more heads we have at the table, even the more experience we can share with you, and I'm really excited about that program.
Yeah, and it's and a couple of analogies we can use because I think it's kind of good, but it's basically saying, like, go and read the easing, go to agentquest.ca, download the easing, and then saying, I'm going to have access to these, what I would have paid, because it didn't exist in 1993 when I got my license, to have access one-on-one to the best, or not the best, but you know, some, you know, because there are some people that aren't going to share, but the people that are willing to share around North America. And to have the insights that people say, you know, don't do this, do this. Like, this is important. This, you know, don't get distracted over here. The value. I mean, Dave, what would it have been if you had Mobile Agent TV? I mean, not to toot our own horn, but in 1947 when you started real estate, Dave, what would have you?
Well, I was born in 48, so, you know.
But honestly, I mean, really, what is the value to a new agent? To have Dave Farquhar as their team leader, or to have Mobile Agent TV, or to have Agent Quest, where it says, you know, here is, we're going to take you step by step through an 8-week program, and at the end of it, you're going to be 5 years ahead where you would be if you'd done it on your own.
Yeah.
I don't think there's no number you can put on that. There's no number you can put on that, because, you know, the old 80-20 rule. If you kind of remember that, the 80-20% of the people that come into this business are going in a couple of the 80% are going in a couple of years, and 20% less. And of those 20%, the top 5 or 6 are making any money, and the rest of them are hanging around, and they're doing okay.
Right.
Now, that the last I saw it was 93.7, and that's kind of like 7% are selling 93% of the real estate.
Crazy.
So with this new stuff, that should change, I would think, and. to get into a business, any business for the most part, you want to open up a candy store, you want to open up an ice cream shop or a coffee shop, you need $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, whatever. You need a lot of money. Go into the real estate business. You need to invest in it. But the money and the resources and the guides, the guidance that's there today is it's next to nothing. It doesn't really cost, to me, it costs nothing. Nothing. You can buy apps for $1.99. I mean, you know, coaching is next to nothing in my mind for the rewards that you can get out of it. So all the resources are there. Everything is there. The blueprint, it's inexpensive. Just apply it. I can't put a number on it. It's unbelievable to me.
Well, and the other piece too that I think a lot of people overlook in the value of coaching is just like having that other person who can help you see your own trees in your own forest. You know, like I work with a business coach. I always have, and it's amazing to me how when we work inside our own little business, how stuck you can get in your own little vision, and having someone sort of pull you out and look at it from a 10,000 foot view and be able to navigate, you know, along the way is to me invaluable. I couldn't operate without my coach. She keeps me on task. Oops.
You know, that thing called modeling, I'm sure everybody knows what modeling is. You're just going to, you follow what somebody else is doing. Go look at the top producers and see how they're doing it. And most of them have coaches. The people that are running the Fortune 500 companies in this country have business coaches. They have people on a daily, you know, to kind of guide them along from business. And why not apply it to this business? And this is a business. And that's maybe why we haven't talked a little bit about that. But this is a business. And if you treat it as a business, there's no limit, in my mind, no limit to the amount of money you can make in this business.
Yeah, I'm so giddy to do my job all the time. But not only is there a great financial reward, which is fantastic, you know, you're able to design your life. You're able to help. Like, there's just so many great things about it that when I see people struggling, I just don't think there's a need to struggle in this business. There was a very, very interesting Facebook post that went out, and I don't know if we talked about it last week. I don't think we did. And the question was, if an agent is doing, that's serious about their business, but aren't able to do, you know, 20 transactions a year, and this was at a $250,000 price point, what's the obstacle if someone's serious about their business but still can't make a go of it? And here's the thing, and I responded, does serious equal good at your business? Like, being serious about something doesn't necessarily mean you're good at it. You can be serious about being in real estate, but unless you have guidance and a little mentorship and to know, you know, do this and don't do this and here's what's worked and here's what's not, you can be serious all day long, but that doesn't mean it's going to work.
I agree. But that's a tough one too, though, because, and you know, there's so many things that I can help with, but there's some things that I can't help with. And I had a customer inquiry the other day, and she said to me that she, you know, she loves what we're doing. She loves the messaging. She loves the feeling that she gets when she's on our site, and she, you know, appreciates my vision and blah, 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 blah. It was very, very nice letter, actually. But then she went on to, you know, but she has a habit of just throwing money at stuff. When, you know, so like she had like a weight loss program and she threw a bunch of money at it, and she had something else and she'd thrown a bunch of money at it, and it didn't get her the results she was looking for. And I very nicely said, you know, my best advice is go get on a good team. I don't think that you're ready for this kind of a program yet, to be perfectly frank, because this isn't something that we're not going to flick a switch and leads are going to start falling into your lap. This is an investment in you, and you have to be willing to do the work. And it was always going to be a lot of work. Like, I can't save you from that. It's just going to be a lot of work. But I can give you a guideline. We can set up a business path for you. We can put in place some actions that you need to take to get to where you need to be once we have a very clear vision of what that is. But I can't do the work for you. That's something you're going to have to do.
But it's always work, Dave. It's always been work. It just is the work that you're doing going to result. Like there is no set it and forget it in real estate. It's a lot of hard work. Now, the hope is you love the work that you're doing, but it's hard work. I mean, the thing about it, Dave, you earn your money. I earn my money. But because I take care of my client and I do hard work. But there isn't here, make it make it do it itself. That's crazy that that's going to happen. It's not going
to
happen.
It is, and there's also this little thing, and I don't even know what that is, and I don't think Terry does or anybody knows, that either you got it or you don't have it.
Yes.
There are certain people that you can give them all the coaching in the world, give them all the tools to have the money available for the resources, and they just can't do it because they have other personal things going on, or their personality just doesn't click with the whole thing, and they just don't get it. I mean, you know, I don't know what that means, but they don't get it. But if they do get it, sky's the limit. If you just take the resources and put your head down and get to work.
Yep.
So Terry, what does Agent Quest look like as far as, you know, someone's getting involved in, and I don't know, you're still sort of in the beta soft launch. I don't know where you are right now. We talk about it. I think we talk about Agent Quest every day, so I should probably know. But it's not necessarily for new agents. I think it's for any, I get the impression, it's for any agent. Any agent's going to get it. But an agent that's sort of like, I got in the business, I'm transactional, mm-hmm. I want to have a business. Mm-hmm. Whether you've been in the business for 5 years, if you're at a transactional stage and you're not at a business stage yet, mm-hmm. this is for you. This is what you should be doing.
Yep.
Talk about a new agent calls you up, gets involved in Agent Quest. What does the coaching model look like for them?
So the way we designed the Cadillac program is that, you know, there's sort of 6 weeks of come in, get clear on your vision and your values. We create a marketing plan. We create a business plan first. And then we set you off. And it's sort of like a fast start. It's like, let's get you the basics first. Let's create a vision that you can be inspired by so you want to stay motivated and stay in the game, frankly. And then let's implement some action plans and get you going. That's sort of, you know, the basics. Up from. But like I said, we're working on a Super Friends program. There's going to be group coaching program. All of these things are coming in January. And I believe, Michael, you might be one of our Super Friends, which will be fabulous. Fabulous. So we're going to be talking about, you know, we're going to bring in some more things that if your brokerage isn't teaching you this, I apologize, but these things need to happen. So you need to understand, you know, working with buyers, working with sellers, the art of negotiation, a multitude of other things, social and marketing and those sorts of things. We'll be digging into those pieces a little bit more. And we're just growing. The other side of the business is we do the brand quest as well. So we offer, because we believe in the power of brand, we believe particularly today in our very visual world, digital world, that you need to have a strong brand. And so we do have that brand quest, as we have a client going through that right now, which is also, honestly, it's like therapy. You go through this process where you get so clear about who you are and what you care about, and then you create something, and it's like birthing yourself. It's kind of a fascinating experience. But we think that it all comes together to offer a very strong foundation for you and your business.
I couldn't agree more. The value and the access you're going to have and the guidance in a world where the average real estate agent, I'm sure, is doing commissions around that $5,000 to $7,000 a transaction.
Right.
I mean, when we talk about actually investing in our business, I mean, I've said this before, I'll say it again, please, Ethan Butte, do not have BombBomb raise their prices, but I'd pay anything. When we talked about the Michael Crisa, I would have paid anything for that. I mean, really, as an agent, there is smart money to invest in places, and the ROI of these things are incredible, and would encourage anyone to do that. It's an amazing program. I've had the pleasure of having a lot of heart-to-hearts and glasses of wine with Terry, talking about her vision of it, and I get so freaking excited because I'd only wish there was something in 1994, 1993, but the reality is the business, like Dave said, was extremely different back then, and I think there's a lot of agents that haven't updated and aren't moving forward and not lead follow, and they're getting out of the way, that this program might be good for them too as well, sort of reinvent themselves. The business has changed, and it's not going to stop doing that. Dave is very, very clear about that. It's going to continue to get crazy, and a foundation keeps your feet on the ground and keeps you focused. I think it's invaluable.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Perfect. So go to agentquest.ca if you want to find out more. Is that where they go, Terry?
Yes, thank you. Agentquest.ca.
Now, Dave, our good friend Chase Thompson said here in the Q&A, I don't know if you can see it, I don't know if it's just, do you guys see the Q&A or is it only me?
I don't see it.
Not you.
Okay, it's only me. He would like to see you bust out some reps on the Bowflex, hashtag do it. So, get out there and get that done.
I look pretty good for 95, don't I?
You look fantastic. Well, you know, thanks. I just got a tweet. I'll read it. I just popped up, and I want to make sure I get it right here because it's from Ethan, who was nice enough to be watching. He says that we can adjust your bomb pricing. he says I can donate whatever it's worth to me. It's worth so much to me, Ethan. I have to say Raj Kazar, legally out. Okay, so Terry, if people want to get a hold of you, because you do have another Twitter handle for Conversations That Matter, how do they find Conversations Matter? How do they find Agent Quest? How do they get a hold of you if they want to reach out and engage with Terry Conrad?
Best place is at agentquest.ca. Other than that, at Terry Conrad or at Convos T Matter on Twitter, Google, Facebook,
YouTube.com/convos with an S, T Matter, if you want to watch Conversations Matter, or go to agentquest.ca and just click on the Conversations That Matter. That's probably actually easier. Go there. Fantastic. Just name some of the people that you've had conversations with. I mean, you've had Sunny Lake on, you've had, I'll say...
Valerie Garcia, Matthew Ferrara, Michael Thorne, Laura Monroe in the Napa Valley. So lots of good people, yeah.
Fantastic conversations. And you asked me the other day, I would love to see a Dave Faulkware interview, because I would like to see, because I know Dave would go deep.
Deep. We'll go deep. That's definitely on the agenda, for sure, Dave.
Fantastic. Next week's episode, I have 100% confirmation that we are going to get Steve Murray on. Steve Murray is the editor of Real Trends and one of the authors of Game Changers, The Unfounded Fears and Future Prosperity, the Real Estate Industry. It's a fantastic read. It is. Have you dug into it all, Terry? Because I know you got it.
I just started digging into it. I'm in like chapter one, basically. It looks good.
Fantastic. We'll go deep. If you want to be in this business 5-10 years from now, tune in next week. It's a very, very, very important episode, which will be September the 19th, 10 o'clock Pacific, 1 o'clock Eastern. Dave, I didn't ask you. Takeaway.
Real quick, you know, if you start in this business, you need to invest money, you need to get a coach, and you need to have a mentor and a guide. And the two things that I would do is seek out Agent Quest. If you have to keep a positive mind, Conversations That Matter, it's all positive, and it's good stuff for you. So invest your money in a coach or a mentor.
Fantastic. If you have any referrals heading out to the East Coast of the United States, get a hold of Dave. He'll put you in the hands of the right REMAX agent. Any referrals coming out to the West Coast, get a hold of me, and I'll put you in the hands of the right REMAX agent. And as Melanie Galley of REMAX Fort McMurray wants us to end every show, please tell 5 other REMAX agents or agents anywhere in North America, they don't have to be REMAX agents, about Mobile Agent TV. Our audience grows every week, and we're delighted to have amazing friends of the show like Terry Conrad that will come on and give us an hour of her time. Terry, thank you so much. You're a dear person in my professional life, in my personal life. Thank you so much for giving us an hour of your time. I appreciate it very, very much. Thanks Dave. Thanks, Terry. We'll see everybody next week.